الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولكل وجهة هو موليها فاستبقوا الخيرات أينما تكونوا يأتي بكم الله جميعا صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers, ulama ikram, our sisters at the madrasa, just a little while before Isha, a person phoned and he was discussing something about the progress of the others and why the Muslims are lagging behind. And he had many suggestions and ideas, as we always get, that Muslims must make progress, Muslims must make progress. And in the discussion, we always hear about what is it that will cause the progress of the Muslims, and what is it that is bringing about the decline of the Muslims. So generally the suggestions which are given is that if the Ummah at large opens up also huge malls, shopping complexes, goes into big business like how the others are, then there will be progress. And according to this person, because there are so many restrictions in Sharia with regards to borrowing, therefore it is not possible for the Muslims to compete with the Jews and with others who are in big business. And because of that, the Muslims are not making progress. They are not able to dominate. They are not able to take control of world markets. Na'udhu billahi min zalik. So because there was a discussion on this issue just a little while ago over the telephone, so the same mazmoon stuck into my head. So I will just mention two or three things about progress. That which alim can be against progress? How can Islam be against progress? How can Allah Ta'ala be against progress? How can Deen and Sharia be against progress? So this ayat of the Quran Sharif, it came to mind at that time in the discussion. So I mentioned to him that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself says, وَلَكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. For every group, for every people, for every qawm, for every nation, I'm just giving you the meaning of it, there has been a qibla, there has been a direction. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made a direction for the Jews, for the Christians. For the Muslims, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made hijrah, for about 16-17 months he faced towards Jerusalem, and after that he also faced towards Kaabatullah Sharif. That was the desire of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala fulfilled that desire of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So there has been a direction towards which every nation, every qawm, every people have been facing and they will face. Whether Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made that direction for them or Allah Ta'ala did not make that direction for them, but they will make some kind of direction or something they will make towards which they will face when they are making ibadat. As we notice, many people face their deities. They face different kinds of areas and places. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was talking about the change of qibla in that ayat and giving a message that what is the purpose of arguing, what is the purpose of going on and on debating with these people? They are not going to accept your qibla, you're not going to accept their qibla. So what should you really be doing? You should be avoiding all those discussions which will lead you to nowhere. They will not lead you to anywhere. They're not going to accept your qibla. You're going to keep on arguing, our qibla is the best qibla. Why? Because of this reason and that reason. And they will argue about their qibla. So leave all those arguments and discussions and do one thing. And what you must do? فَاسْتَبِقُ الْخَيْرَاتِ. Hasten, run, overtake one another. Another word for which is progress. That means Allah Ta'ala is saying you must make progress. You must make a lot of progress. You must overtake the others, because that's what progress is all about. We say that you must overtake the others. So Allah Ta'ala is also saying that you must make progress, make a lot of progress. But in what? In khairat. In the good actions, good deeds. Make progress. Overtake others. So we will think that again this progress is referring to what? Namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. Whereas that is a limited meaning that we are giving to khairat. Although the Mufassirin have mentioned about salat. But it is a limited meaning. The wider meaning is this, that anything that is from the khairat. So in that, if it is tijarat, which is halal, there's nothing wrong. You make progress in business, which is halal. You make progress in farming. You make progress in any other field by means of which you earn your livelihood. Allah Ta'ala is not stopping. But it must be from the khairat. In other words, it must be that kind of progress with which Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are pleased with. There has to be some kind of limitations that will be placed. Even the governments of the world, we cannot say that they allow you to progress as you wish without any conditions, without any restrictions, without any limitations. You are just allowed to make progress. Because it's a very beautiful word, very good sounding word, and it's a buzzword, you must make progress. So the governments of the world also have now removed all laws and all restrictions and all conditions of trade, and they have removed every limitation. And they said, now you can go into the marketplace and trade as you wish, steal whoever's goods you wish, as long as you make progress. Because all the dakus of the time, all the hijackers and all the white collar workers and everyone who is involved in corruption and everyone who is stealing and everyone who is usurping the property of others, they all will say the same thing. They will say to the government that, why are you stopping us? Why are you preventing us from making progress? Because I am a person who would like to have more than the other person, which is progress. So therefore, if I'm stealing, it should be permissible. If I'm doing corrupt business, it should be permissible. If I'm violating all the laws, it should be allowed, because I'm making progress. Now nobody accepts that kind of progress. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has to place some kind of restrictions, then why should we make such a big issue of it? Because He knows what is good for us in this world and in the akhirat. These people, their visions are limited. The government regulations also, they just sometimes do not know what to legislate. One minute they will pass one law, and next minute they will say, no, this law is not the most suitable one for the present condition, so therefore we must change it and pass another one. So their laws are based on consultation with whom? With those very people who've got corrupt minds, most of them. I'm talking about the general condition of the world. So corrupt minds, the majority of those who are in governments in all parts of the world, they have got corrupt minds, they've got selfishness, they've got greed. They are all looking at their own pockets and their own goals and own ends. What percentage of people do we have who are really serving the public? They say, we are here, vote for us. Why? Because we want to serve you. So one person in India, when he was standing for elections, then he said, look, I will tell you the truth. You rather vote for me, because this is the third election now. Because the first election when I stood, then I said I'm going to serve. So I did serve, but I served myself. And the second time when I stood for election, I said I will serve. But that time I served my family members. I made sure they all get rich. But now this time, if you vote for me, I will serve you. But if you vote for the others, they will start off from A. Then they will still have to go through B, and then they will come to C. So you rather vote for me, because I'm already there now. Now I will serve you. So what percentage of people are really serving? the selfishness, this greed, this corruption at its height. Governments of the world are failing when it comes to corruption. Even Muslim countries is no different. One of the major problems of Pakistan is what? Corruption. All kinds of laws and legislation are failing. They appoint committees and all kinds of organizations and everything for investigation. What happens? At the end of the day, they are corrupt themselves. So you have to need police to police the police. So this is what Shariat says also, that you have to make progress. There's no problem. In fact, Shariat has considered tijarat as farz-e kifaya. It's a farz, but farz-e kifaya, that if few people do it and provide the necessities to the population, then the sin will be removed. They will be absolved from sin. If nobody in the community goes into business, then the whole community will be sinful. Because who's going to provide the bread, the milk, and the sugar, and the other needs of the people? So Shariat, which makes business farz-e kifaya, how can it stop you from going into big business? It's not stopping you from big business. But if it's putting some restrictions, it's putting on what? It is saying that don't deal with haram. Because Allah Ta'ala is the one who is the creator of man, and He knows what is good for the person, He knows what is harmful. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows the present, the past and the future. He knows everything. And He knows that when people are going to go into this bank borrowing and lending and all kinds of interest taking and giving, then there will be collapse of those businesses, wholesale collapse. Finally there will be destruction. We're talking about Muslims. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَكُلِّمْ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَاد. Every person will face his own qibla. The disbelievers, they've got their own qibla. They will face that. In other words, they will look at progress with their glasses. That whatever appeals to them, as long as no government legislation restricts it, they will go for it. If the best business is liquor sales, then they will say that in every complex we must have a huge liquor sale outlet, because it's the best business. So now Muslims will not look at it that way, that in what can we make the most amount of money. They will look at what pleases our Allah Ta'ala whilst we are making this progress. Kasbul tijar, kasbul halal farizatun ba'd al fariza. The acquisition of halal is a farz after the other farais. That means to acquire livelihood which is halal, Allah Ta'ala makes it farz. It's farz-e kifaya. So that which Allah Ta'ala makes farz-e kifaya, how can we say that Islam is against progress? So, but those who are saying that huge shopping malls will solve the Muslim Ummah's problems, then they don't have to look at big shopping malls. They have to go to the Muslim countries which are owning huge oil wells. Billions of liters of oil produced every day. How many barrels of oil from the different Muslim countries? Billions and billions of gallons or liters of oil going throughout the world. So what is that small shopping mall in comparison with those huge oil wells which Allah Ta'ala gave to whom? He gave mostly to the Muslims. To prove that even though you may have the largest amount of oil wells or the greatest amount of wealth, but that doesn't seem to solve your problem. How can it solve your problem when it is not operated according to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's hukam? So that is the bottom line. Then we say, okay, then if there is a huge army, then we will be successful. Iraq had 1 million people, 1 million soldiers before the 90 Gulf War, 1 million. And it was feared, that army of Iraq was feared. Israel and others were fearing Iraq's army. And what they did not possess. Saddam had accumulated the best weapons and given them the best training. And then what happened in that war? Once again the same thing comes forward. That it is not that Islam is against progress. Islam wants us to make progress. But there has to be some kind of limitation. There has to be some kind of usul. There has to be some kind of laws that will govern this progress, Islamic laws. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showed it in the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they abided by those restrictions. If you have to look at it, before they accepted Islam, they were trading in everything. They were trading in everything. They were trading in liquor, they were trading in pigs, they were trading in wine, they were trading in anything that you can think of. They were even trading in human beings. Slavery was at its peak. Everything was happening. Now when Islam came, it puts restrictions. Now you cannot sell this, you cannot sell that, you cannot sell that. So as far as selling was concerned now, as far as sales were concerned, a number of items were reduced from that list that Muslims could sell. So what should have happened? There should have been a decline now. Because what was bringing them progress in accordance with our terminology was now being taken away. Then interest. They were charging compounded interest. Usury was like part and parcel of trade and business. Therefore they also, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif with regards to interest, what did the kuffar, what did they say? أَحَلَّ Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءِ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَىٰ. Why? Because they said that riba and bay is about the same thing. So Allah ta'ala says, not like that. Allah ta'ala has made bay transactions halal and has made interest haram. So usury was rife in the society. Now Shariat came and said that you must not charge interest on the loans that you give. So many items, the list was reduced. You cannot sell this, you cannot sell that, you cannot sell that. Now you cannot take interest. Then if you look at the time, that they could sell any time, day, night, there was no question of making 5 times salat, there was no question of tilawat and zikr and ibadat and jihad. At that time there was nothing. So they were doing everything. 24 hours, any time was business time. So with regards to the time also, there was a reduction. That now you must make salat. Zuhur time is salat. Asr time is salat. Maghrib time salat. Morning, afternoon, evening, different salats. So the time is being taken up from there too. Then there is zikr, there's tilawat. This recitation of Yasin Sharif, this, that, read this, read that. Then suddenly the call for jihad, go out in jihad. Now look at that. From different sides, restrictions came. So our intelligence will tell us that now the Muslims should have been completely dominated. Why? Because on the one hand, they cannot compete with the others in increasing their wealth, because they are now restricted, that you can't sell this, you can't sell that, you can't sell that. But who does not know that what happened in the lives of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ? How much gold and silver came into their lives after that? That they were not even interested in seeing it. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at one time so much of wealth came in to Madina Sharif, and he looked at it piled up in the masjid there. And he looked at it and he said, Ya Allah, I am not saying that you must take the love of this out of my heart and finish. We must ask you to not to send us any kind of wealth. I'm just giving you the meaning of what he said. That means he says, I'm not telling that Allah Ta'ala must not send us any kind of wealth and he must deprive us of all this, what is coming in this manner. He says, because Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif himself, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ, the whole ayat, in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has glorified, he has put that, in other words, he has put that love into your hearts. Everybody who likes, he must have some kind of gold, some silver, some horses, some wealth, some good woman in this, as in his marriage, many, many things. Now that is natural. He said, all we are saying that, Ya Allah, that don't let this wealth divert us from your remembrance. And don't give it to us against your raza and your pleasure. So that's all that was required. Inshallah, some other time we'll discuss that ayat in detail. But this moment I just want to give you these few points, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not restrict. So wealth was coming in, but because it was within that Sharia framework, so the Muslims were progressing. So the progress of the Muslim may be a little slow at the beginning. But if he adheres very strictly and rigidly to that which Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is pleased with, then Allah ta'ala puts barakat into that tijarat. Then that same business grows. Or even if it does not grow too much, but what the person earns, it will suffice for his needs, for the needs of his family. And it will bring him sukoon, it will bring him peace, it will bring him comfort, it will bring him satisfaction. And that progress which we are talking about, in which there is no restriction, there must be no limitation, there must be no kind of legislation of Sharia, then that progress is good for the non-Muslim, that he can progress. I've given that example many times, that the person who is a Muslim, to him the taking of interest, money that's coming from gambling, the money that's coming from stealing, the money that's coming from fraudulent deals, now it seems that this person is progressing, that his wealth is increasing. But that is just like how if a dog has to eat a bone, then it will give the dog strength. It's good. Bones are good for the dogs. You give it to them, it will give them health, it will give them strength. They can bark whole night after that. But if you give it to the Muslim, but if you give that to the human beings, that just because the dog seems to be getting good health with bones, so therefore let's give the human beings also bones. So the next walima now, instead of cooking biryani, give them bones. So what do you think is going to happen to all those people there? So in the same way, if a Muslim is going to take all these things, it is like eating those bones. It's not going to give him health. Or that example that the person, there are two kinds of people who have got big bodies. One is the person who has been exercising, the person is jogging, is running, and then he's drinking soup, and he's eating 2 dozen eggs and fish, and a few chickens also, he downs it. Now with that all, he's getting a healthy body, his body is blowing. We'll say that's good health. And on the other hand, another person, his body is, he's got pleurisy, or he's got some other sickness, and the body is blowing up, water is filling up, pus, matter, and all kinds of things, and it's blowing his body. Now outwardly, when you look at the two people, you will say both have got the same size bodies. But we know that one person's body, there's health, and the other person's body is just a matter of time. One rupture and one explosion, as we call it, and then see the stench and the stink that will come out from that body. And the person himself, we know that with that kind of body, he can't walk, he can't breathe properly, he's running short of breath, and he can't undertake his daily activities. We know that that person, how he struggles to even walk a few paces with that body. And the other person, he runs kilometers with that body. So for the Muslim, the progress is different. Let us not fall for these so beautiful suggestions. And there's nothing wrong. Even if Muslims go into huge shopping malls, if they have to build also, but they build it the proper way with halal earnings, and they form a syndicate, not those syndicates which are operating these days. I'm talking about genuine syndicates. Otherwise the name syndicate straight away gives us a shock, a little bit of shock treatment. So we're talking about genuine syndicate. If they form, they pool their resources together, and without involving themselves in interest, if they have to put up huge buildings, if they are all honest and they trade properly, then Allah Ta'ala will give barakat in that. But today the Muslim cannot trust his Muslim brother. Non-Muslims are far away. But here if we have to tell the Muslim today, well, you are sitting with so many 100,000 in your bank account, you are sitting with so many 100,000, you are sitting with so much, let us pool our monies together and I will be the managing director and I will control all the affairs, then in a few days time I'll be the damaging director. No trust, there's absolutely no trust left. Who can we trust today? People are saying, who can we trust? I trusted my best friend and this is what he did. So if best friends are doing that, then who can you trust? I trusted my brother and see what he did to me. I trusted my uncle, I trusted my father. Father says, I trusted my son and he sold me out. So that is our weakness. Don't blame Islam for that. Is that Islam's weakness? That is our weakness. That we are not trading honestly, truthfully. We are not genuine. We've got our own matlab. It's a dunya of matlab. Sabko apne matlab se matlab. whatever can happen to the next person, this selfishness, this greed. And that is what Shariat is stopping us from, not from progress. Progress, Shariat wants to see us progress. As Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayh says, when I see a good home by a Muslim, I see a good business, I see the Muslim has got a good car or anything like that, see, it makes me happy that Allah Ta'ala has blessed the Muslim with this. However, that Muslim, now how does he use those things? So we do not want to comply with Sharia. And if we say that it was only wealth that could have given the Muslims power and dominance, then as I explained earlier on, that Muslims have got plenty of wealth. If you look at the Muslim governments, they've got plenty of wealth. But they just cannot even shout anymore. They're all scared, they're watching from which side America is going to attack us. So therefore, let us be in the good books of America. Because we moved our sight and gazes from Allah Ta'ala, because we started disobeying Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala made us ghulam of everybody else. We became the ghulams of everybody else. We were supposed to have been imams. The Muslim Ummah was supposed to be an imam. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made us ghulam, slaves. In spite of having everything, but we have become slaves. It reminds me that one Maulana, his name was Maulana Ghulam in India. So he used to say, because the trustees were giving him very hard time in the masjid, but he was the imam. And in those days, the imams were treated very, very poorly. So he says that I got sick and tired of what they were doing. So one day, you know, he said himself, he says, one day, just before starting the Salat, Allahu Akbar, I turned around and I looked at the congregation and I said, please make sure you all don't lie. You must be very honest in everything that you do. So they wondered, now what is he up to now? So he says, now all of you all have just made the niyat, we are making 2 rakat namaz behind the imam. So if you consider me to be your imam, then treat me as an imam. And don't treat me as ghulam, because my name is ghulam. He says, I'm not only your 2 rakat imam, you must keep me as an imam. So Muslim Ummah was an imam. But because we disobeyed Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have become ghulams. So this argument that if we have this so much, if we have that so much, if we do this and we do that, then we will progress. And the ulama are holding the Muslims back from progress. Then we know that it is just fantasy. It is just hot air that they are blowing. Because no alim has really held back anybody from progress. All we are saying is that let us progress, but according to the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, because then only we will get true progress. If not, then for a little while there will be a bubble and then it will burst. But on the other hand, I mentioned to him, I said that, all right, you tell me that how many percent of the Ummah is really listening to the ulama, and that is why they are not progressing. How many percent? Don't look at one small community somewhere. Look at the community at large, the Muslim Ummah as we are talking about. That how many percent of the Muslim Ummah, what percentage is holding back because of the fatawa or the fatwas or the rulings of the ulama or the sharia or the Quran and Sunnah, that because the Quran and Sunnah has said that we must not engage in this, or must not deal in this, we must not do that, therefore we are not going to do it. How many percent? Barely 10, 15, 20% you will get who is really following the Quran and Sunnah. The other 80% is not following the Quran and Sunnah. They are doing anything and everything that their nafs and shaitan tells them to do, and they are following the patterns of the West and the disbelievers in the businesses, in their homes, in the markets, in the farms, in everywhere, you will find that they are still doing that which the others are doing. Then why haven't they made progress? 80% should have made progress now, because they are not following the Quran and Sunnah. They are not listening to the ulama. They are not listening to Deen and Sharia. They are doing what their own mind tells them. If you go in Durban, you go in other parts of the country, even our Muslim business houses, how many Muslim business houses do you have that we can say that they are 100% Sharia compliant? Or their businesses are conducted according to Sharia? How many percent? Look at what they are doing. They're doing exactly the same thing what the others are doing. If those people are employing semi-naked women for the promotion of their goods and for the invitation of customers to the business houses, so that we are no better than them. If they have got music inviting them into their businesses and thinking that that will increase businesses, then they are even doing that. And if they are attending all those kinds of fashion shows in which there's nothing but nudity and haram and shamelessness and obscenity and indecency, just so that their business may progress, so then what different are they from the others? So by now they should have made so much of progress that we should have been dominant over them. But where are those huge business houses at one time which were names? We don't even hear of them. How they disappeared from the surface of the earth? Why did they disappear? When they were names, big, big names, around the world I'm talking about. Don't look at any, think of any particular business or company. Where are they? They grew and they grew into millions and millions of businesses they made. After that, what happened? That same interest taking, giving, borrowing and lending and all that interest, what happened finally? Finally, either they will take millions and lots of people, poor, needy, widows, orphans, rich, poor, so many people who have invested, they all will go for a ride. Or people will be paid out 10 cents, 20 cents in the rand. Something will happen like that. So what is happening? Let us not make a joke of Islam and Sharia and Deen. We have seen with our own eyes what has happened. So now this is a very important point, that if Shariat was holding back progress, or ulama and muftis were holding back progress of the ummah, because they were saying you must deal in halal, you must stay away from haram. So then that 80% that is dealing un-Islamically, every part of the business that you look at, there's nothing but un-Islamic. Very few, very small percentage you can really say that this business house is a proper Sharia compliant business house. Very few, you can count them on your fingers. So there should have been a lot of progress by now, a lot of progress. Why is there no progress? Where are we? We're still in square one. So believe me or not, and whether we like it or not, but that is Quran and that is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's kalam. And if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ظَنْكَ, then definitely Allah Ta'ala will make the person's life miserable. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif. So it will never go wrong that the person will turn away from my remembrance. Then we will make his life tightened, narrowed, miserable. No matter how much the person earns. But we haven't become dominant anyway in the world with all the wealth. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Izzat is for whom? For Allah, His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and for the believers. So Allah Ta'ala is not stopping us from getting izzat also. Because what else does a person want huge business and wealth for? He wants it because he wants profit, and also at the same time he wants a kind of respect in society. So Allah Ta'ala is not stopping us from gaining respect also. That kind of respect which is according to the Quran and Sunnah, it is needed. If we don't have that kind of respect, our children won't listen to us. Our brothers won't listen to us. Our congregation won't listen to us if we are imams, but we don't enjoy any kind of respect because of our weakness. Nobody is going to listen. So Allah Ta'ala wants us to have progress. He wants us to make progress, but in khairat, in good deeds, in good actions. Now in our tijarat, bring Islam. In our homes, bring Islam. In our transactions, bring Islam. In our schools, colleges, wherever we can, to whatever extent, bring Islam. In our business houses, bring Islam, bring Sharia, bring Deen. And then see how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will cause progress to take place. We may not see so much straight away, but we will see barakat, we will see barakat, contentment, satisfaction, happiness. There will be peace in the home also, that home will be Jannat on earth. I keep on saying that, that will be Jannat on earth. If not, then nigahe aqreba badli, mizaje dosata badla. Mizaje aqreba badli, mizaje dosta badla. Nigahe aqreba badli, mizaje dosta badla. Nigahe aqreba badli, mizaje dosta badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli, ke kul sara jahan badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli, ke kul sara jahan badla. Everybody became our enemies, we say. Everybody, enemies, enemies, enemies. If Allah Ta'ala turns away His gaze of rahmat and mercy because of our disobedience, then our parents, our children, our wives, our family members, our friends, our relatives, our business associates, our clients, everybody is, we'll say that, working against us. Everybody is working against us. But if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is with us, then everything will work in our favor. And I conclude again on something that you hear always. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. Oh Allah, if you are not ours, then nothing is ours. It's just a mirage. From far we see that there's water. But when we get there, there's no water, it's just sand. If Allah Ta'ala is not ours, then whatever we have is just a mirage. For a little while, it is there just to give us some kind of pleasure. That how we see the water from a distance in a desert, and the person gets happy that there's water now. But when he approaches it, he says it was a heap of sand. So just like that, we will look at all these things and we'll get some kind of happiness that it's there, I've got it, I've got it. And then one whip of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala must protect us. Allah Ta'ala must protect our Iman, our Islam, our Yaqeen, our faith in Him. And we must ask for protection of our children, our wealth and everything. Nothing wrong with that. Must ask for protection from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, from His Azab. Nikahe aqriba badli, mizaje dosta badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli, ke kul sara jahan badla. And if we only have Shariat in our lives, Deen in our lives, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our lives, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will put our love into hearts of people. Then they will work for us, in favor of us. Matlabi dunya doesn't last long. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq to make amal. So make progress. Nothing wrong. But let us check that are we complying with Sharia. If not, then it is just a mirage. It's just because of the charities that the South African Muslims give. We give so much of charities. I always say that. That it is because of those charities Allah Ta'ala's anger gets cooled. And we are protected. Otherwise, if we have to look at our lives, we are no better than what those people that we talk about always around the world. Just a little bit of namaz 5 times a day is not sufficient. And that too again, what percentage of Muslims are making even 5 times a day salat? One muazzin, he says it for many, many years, he was a muazzin in one of the masjids, in one of the towns. And he says for many years, Fajr time in winter, or summer, he says he used to be alone making the salat. Nobody comes. Even the imam is missing. And yet the imam used to live next door, he says. But at that time, he says that he used to go into sajda and he used to cry that, oh Allah, send some people to make salat. So he used to get like a fragrance coming out from the musalla. And the first time he came to this masjid on Thursday, last Thursday program, and he mentioned to the congregation where he went, he said that same fragrance which he used to get that time, while he was making sajda here in the masjid or in the tent at that program, he was getting that fragrance from them. Now look, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if He wants to give some kind of sign of his happiness, then he gives it. But the point that I was mentioning is that people are living around masajid. And they say it's our masjid, but it's empty, that masjid. They don't make namaz there. But if somebody just has to throw something in that masjid, or somebody has to throw a bomb, or somebody has to put some impurity there, or do some kind of damage to the masjid, the non-Muslim, then see, the whole Muslim ummah will say, our masjid. So what was that masjid for? Was it supposed to be just a tourist attraction? Or as Maulana says, monument. That is what is happening. There are masajid that people are now going, what do they do? This is, look at our wuzukhana, look at our toilets, look at our fans, look at our roof and ceiling, and look at the architecture, and look at this, and look at that. The person makes a complete tour, doesn't even make two rakat namaz, and is gone. And won't even make a namaz again in any other masjid too. They become tourist attractions. Ha, oont re oont teri kunsi kal sidi. He said, oh, camel, which part of your body is straight? If we look at our lives, which part of it is straight? But don't lose hope. Allah Ta'ala is merciful, forgiving, kind. He wants us to turn towards Him. Turn towards Him. Take some steps towards Allah Ta'ala. How long are we going to wait? How long are we going to say tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow? Are we not seeing young people suddenly leave this world? Young people. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا راحم المساكين ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما forgive our major sins or minor sins sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights forgive us our parents our wives and children brothers and sisters and the entire ummah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم Oh my beloved Allah, make us all follow the Quran and the Sunnah. Ya Allah, bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our time, in our life, in every ni'mat and bounty of yours. Ya Allah, give the ummah dominance as you gave to the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Ya Allah, we know that we are extremely weak servants of yours. Oh my Allah, we know that no part of our life is straight. Oh my beloved Allah, we are like the camel. My beloved Allah, no part of our life is straight. We listen. But Ya Allah, we don't have the himmat and the courage to implement in our lives the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, which is the guarantee to success and to progress. Ya Allah, bless us with the type of progress and success that you gave to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The type of progress and success that you give to your awliya-i-kiram. Ya Allah, protect us from all kinds of harm. Protect our iman, protect our Islam. Protect our wives and children, protect our properties. Protect the Muslim ummah. Ya Allah, put the love of good deeds into our hearts. Put the hatred of sins into our hearts. Remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems of the ummah. Give the ummah the realization. Give all of us the realization. That we can only succeed as Muslims if we have to follow the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, put it deep down into our hearts that our success lies in following, in obeying you and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, in obeying you and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Don't deprive us of the goodness of this world of akhirah. Oh my Allah, so many people are sick and ailing. Ya Allah, we too have got so much of sicknesses, ailments and suffering and pain. My beloved Allah, bless us with complete shifa from all our ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Ya Allah, we know that sometimes these type of diseases and sicknesses can be a rahmat and a mercy, but we are extremely weak, don't test us. Change it to the rahmat of good health. Ya Allah, forgive our sins. Oh my beloved Allah, whether they are in hospitals or clinics or homes, wherever they are, those who are undergoing operations. Ya Allah, bless them all with complete shifa. Remove their pain, the difficulty. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk. Save them from going towards haram. Ya Allah, give us the realization that barakat will only come in halal. Oh my beloved Allah, those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children, make them obedient to you, to your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, bless us with sihat, with afiyat, with salamati, with izzat, with barakat. Ameen. Tera qurb de, teri marifat de, teri zaati ali par yaqeen de. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Ya Allah, how much he begged for us. All the goodness that he asked for us, bless us with that goodness. Bless the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the trials and the tribulations of the ummah around the globe. Remove the difficulties of entire mankind. Wherever they are suffering due to drought, famine, AIDS, whatever it may be, Ya Allah, change the conditions. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.